Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bass Kayak and Beers is sponsored in part by Douglas Rod. Go to douglasoutdoors.com to check out their full lineup and locate your nearest authorized dealer.
All right, boys and girls, you hear that sound? It is Bass Kayak and Beers time, and I got my good friend Jake Harshman right here joining us. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. You sound tired.
I'm a little tired. Been fishing a lot. Trying to get out there and learn this river.
You are pre-fishing for the Susque, right?
Yeah, so they opened up some boundaries this year. And they opened up some boundaries to some places that I don't normally fish and I don't know a whole lot about. So honestly, it's kind of neat because it's given me, drive or determination to learn some new water, which is kind of nice. And that's what I've been doing the past, over the past month, I've literally fished out of every public launch site on the Susquehanna River, as well as the Juniata River. So, I can say that I have effectively been to every stretch of the open boundary water for the Hobie BOS. It's kind of cool.
When you say they opened the boundaries, you mean for the Hobie BOS, right?
Yeah. So last year, the boundaries were basically from City Island area to Sunbury area on the Susquehanna River. And last year they had up to a boat launch called Amity Hall on the Juniata, which is only about a mile and a half upriver from the mouth of the Susquehanna where the Juniata dumps in. So this year, they've kept the northern boundary on the Susquehanna the same. It's still the dam in Sunbury, but they increased the southern boundary all the way to York Haven Dam, which opens up a few more launches in about 6 or 8 miles of river. But the cool thing about it is Goldsboro, or that York Haven Dam area down there, it's called Goldsboro. That's a largemouth fishery. It's grass. It's mats. Primarily a largemouth fishery. There's still smallmouth opportunity there, but it's a largemouth fishery, which is really neat. And then up the Juniata, they went as far as a launch called Thompson Town, which is a Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission launch, but it's like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not speaking in exact, but it's like 12 or 14 miles up the Juniata. And the Juniata is, you know, very similar to the Susquehanna. It fishes the same, but they're a completely different ecosystem, really. There's a lot more open water to fish this year. It's going to provide the anglers with a lot of different opportunity. So it's kind of cool. We've fished lakes like Kentucky Lake. It's, 100 miles long. They just fished Champlain, which is huge. Champlain is like an hour, 2 hours from one end to the other. So, doing that now in a river system, that's going to be really neat. I think it's really cool. And there's so much water in play now. So much. It's incredible. And when I say so much water in play, you got to think about public launch sites on a river. And, you know, most people do a float, some people single access, but when there's only, you know, 10 or 11 public launch sites on the river, there's not a whole lot of room to spread out. You're floating over top of each other, you're single accessing over top of each other. This year, they've really taken that aspect and avoided it by providing so much more open water. And there's something here for everybody. So it'll be cool.
Nice. I'm assuming those changes came based on feedback from some of the anglers that fish it. The Susquehanna was fished last year on the Hobie BOS, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, you mentioned it already, yeah.
Yeah.
So this move is more like AJ kind of like adjusting to what the feedback of the anglers, you think?
I don't know if it was necessarily the feedback of the anglers. I know that, you know, he wanted to provide more opportunity for different aspects of, you know, of people who want to fish what. You know, because there's a lot of guys that don't fish for smallmouth and don't know anything about smallmouth. If you tell that person, hey, you can come up here and fish for largemouth and still contend, that provides them an opportunity to feel comfortable with something that they're doing, which in turn allows them to enter the tournament and increase the numbers. You know, it don't, and you're going to hear people will naysay this, and people are going to tell me that I'm full of crap, but I know what's true. Those largemouth in Goldsboro can absolutely contend with the smallmouth of the northern sections of the river. There's just, it's a condensed area that gets pressured a little bit more, but those fish are big, dude. I caught it almost, it was really, really close to 7 pounds out of there 2 years ago. And, you know, a 7 pound river largemouth, that's impressive anywhere you go in the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, you know, that's what lives there. There's big fish down there. That fish went 22 inches. So, you know, there's potential, there's opportunity. I mean, the right grass fisherman that knows how to throw a frog and punch mats could go down there and do some serious damage. So
it's going to be interesting. So we kind of already got started on the subject, but I was, you know, wanted to give kind of the audience a preview of what we're talking about. We're going to be previewing the Susquehanna River for the Hobie BOS. It's going to be held on the last weekend of July. Mm-hmm. So now, keep in mind, for those out there listening, as a podcast host, I have the responsibility to ask the questions that you guys want to hear. Jake is at no obligation to answer those questions because he is participating in the tournament. So he may be some information he may hold back. Keep in mind, I will nonetheless ask the questions, and we agreed on that. If an answer is not forthcoming, then a joke will be forthcoming. It will be substituted by something smart, probably referring to big girls on yoga pants, if I know Jake as well as I think I know him. So yeah, Keep that in mind. I'll do my best to get the information that you guys want to listen to, but again, it'll be up to him, and don't judge him.
If I can preface any answers I have with one thing, I don't hide anything. Everything's on my YouTube channel. I don't hide what I use. I don't, you know, if someone asked me, hey, what'd you catch him on? I tell them the truth.
Jackhammer.
You know, it's one of those things where the only thing right now hidden on my YouTube channel is the exact location where I planned on fishing. I made that video private because I don't want people to know how to fish that area.
Yeah.
I don't want people to know what I was doing to catch them, because it's not even that I'm worried about them coming there on tournament day and doing it. I'm worried about them going there and practicing pre-fishing, beating up the fish.
Blowing up, yeah, blowing out your spot.
You know, so that's about the only thing that's hidden with me. Everything else, dude, I put it out there. I don't care. Like, they're everybody's fish. Go catch them. So, but if you ask a question that I don't want to answer, I probably will put some smart-ass comment in there and We'll see how it goes.
Listeners, be warned. So, speaking of the Susky, now you fished it last year. How did it go for you last year?
Terrible.
Really?
Absolutely.
But terrible. It is your home water. Would you consider it your honey hole?
Yeah. So I live about 10 minutes away from the closest launch on the Susquehanna River. To my house is about 10 minutes. You know, last year I broke out of my comfort zone a little bit. And I went to some stretches of the river that I didn't have a lot of experience in. And ultimately on day one, I ended up getting a migraine, which sucked. And I spent the majority of day one nursing that. Day two, like an idiot, Day two, I went to a spot that I knew very well, and I had this mindset of I need 100 inches. So I literally threw all day long a Whopper Plopper 130 and a 6-inch bull shad to try to catch basically 100 inches of fish or close to it. And it was a mistake. I only caught one fish. You know, that fish was 17 3/4 inches or something like that that I caught on day two. But I really, 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 I took away a whole class of fish trying to find five of the certain fish, and I stuck to it all day long. And that was my downfall. You know, could I have done a lot better? Sure. On day one, I only caught 4 fish last year, and that was 4 fish that I caught before the migraine at 9 a.m. I lost a bunch of fish after that. Like, I lost way too many fish after that. After I got that migraine, the fish, every fish that I hooked got off. It's not an excuse. It's fact, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm looking to redeem that a little bit this year.
Do you suffer from migraine? Is that something common?
Yeah. If you ask my boss, I call off a lot for migraines. It's something that my mother actually has them. When she gets them, she goes into the hospital. So.
Yeah, I've had friends that deal me migraine, and that it's not, you know, for people that don't know it, sometimes we can be ignorant about what a migraine is and how it can affect you. But I mean, I got friends when they get that migraine, I mean, it shuts them down completely.
It can be a debilitating
whisper,
thing.
Yeah, a whisper could sound like I don't know, like somebody on a megaphone, or you know, a slightest sound can sound like a jackhammer, like a literal jackhammer, not the pain on your head. You know, it's something that if we don't know, then you know, we're all imperfect because sometimes get judgmental about it, but it's real. It's not just a headache. It is a blinding thing that really shuts you down.
You're right. 100%. You know, the haters of the fishing community will say, oh, well, he's just using that as an excuse because he didn't do well. No, I didn't do well because I sucked. I didn't perform, but I didn't perform because I had gotten a migraine in my mind. Because that's my river. Like, this is where I live. You know, I haven't been on the river yet this year where I didn't catch a limit in the mid 80s. It's where I fish. I should always be expected to do well here because I live here. You know, but it sucked. Like, it sucked last year. And you know, it is what it is. That was last year. I don't care about it now. But, you know, it's the river's fishing right now. It's fishing so much better than it was last year. I would be looking, well, I'll let you ask the questions. But I would be looking for 2 days in the 90s to get, maybe even to get a check. I don't know.
Really? In the 90s to get a check?
Wow. Dude, it's been fishing.
So 180 inches at least to get a check, you think?
You could probably catch a check with 175 inches, but I think it's going to, the winner is going to have 185, maybe more. maybe more. I mean, dude, I can't explain to you how good it's fishing this year. It's just incredible. The amount
what of you go ahead, I'm sorry.
The amount of 18 and 19 inch fish is just kind of like skyrocketed this year.
What do you think that is?
Some of it has to do with the water levels, and it's making these fish a little bit more predictable. It's making them have to eat more because we've had some high water this year compared to last year. Last year, the tournament levels were at 3.2 feet, and this, you know, hell, I think almost the entire month of July, we've been at around 5 feet. And that's increased flow. You know, that's a 2 foot jump over a mile wide stretch of river, you know? So that's a lot of cubic feet per second water coming down, really making those fish kind of, you know, they're on a treadmill and they're having to eat. So it's putting them, you know, it's putting them into feast mode. And some of the other aspect of that too is that, you know, a couple years ago we had a year that was just flood conditions all summer long. I'm talking like the river never got below 7 feet the entire summer. And it's normally at around 3.5 over the summertime. So that year was terrible for the fish. It was great for fishing, but it was terrible for the fish. You could go out and catch 95 inches, no problem, in one big eddy. But what happened was a lot of those fish got overstressed, overworked, overfished. And I think there was a lot of, residual kill, like a fish kills because of the high water. And they had a terrible spawn that year too. And, you know, the past couple years we've had moderate, you know, rain and river levels, and they've just gotten back to a point where, you know, there's a lot of trophy class fish out there now. And, you know, those 15 to 17 inch fish from a couple years ago are 18, 19 inches now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, they're doing really well. The river is in great condition right now. So
it's interesting you mentioned that. And my experience fishing rivers is very limited. I think I fish a couple of rivers here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Mainly my favorite one is the Brazos River below Possum Kingdom. And that to me is completely the opposite in the sense that I know when the fish are, when the water release, is 50 cubic feet per second. I know exactly where they're going to be. And now right. I know exactly what they're going to bite. But once you're like right now, it's like, I think today was 450 cubic feet per second. And I really did. One of the things that I had planned for today was actually hit the Brazos River because I wanted to see how they fished at this water level. And to me, the difference, a lot of it is like, well, now they got places to go.
Yeah.
Like now it's more wide open. So it's kind of interesting that the Susquehanna, in your, I mean, for you, it's like different. It's like the water level goes up, the fishing is better. Whereas to me, when the water level goes down on the river, my experience, and again, my experience is a lot more limited than yours. And it's obviously different geographics. One is Pennsylvania, one is Texas. But it's one of the things where I know exactly where they're going to be and what they're going to be looking for.
So, when I say it's easier or it's better fishing, when you have an increased flow, it puts those fish into a spot where they can survive. Obviously, you know, when the river gets up above up here, per se, when the river gets up above 7.5 feet, every single one of those fish have to find an eddy. Otherwise, you know, they're getting blown downriver. They're getting blown out of position. But they're almost every single one of them is going to be in an eddy. So when you get a large concentration of fish packed into a small eddy, they're all competing for the same food and they all have to eat. you can go in there and catch them all. You know, like Pokemon, catch them all. Like that, literally, you can go in there and catch them all. And that's what 2018 was like. I mean, 2018 was a crazy, crazy year for river levels for us. And dude, like, I can't even begin to explain to you how many giant fish I caught in 2018. And I didn't even have to go far from the boat ramp. I just went to the nearest eddies and they were there. And the other aspect, you know, it puts those fish into it'll put them into the feeder creeks too, into the tributaries. You know, if the river gets high like that and the tributaries are low, the tributaries will be pushing clean water and the Susquehanna will be pushing muddy, you know, muddy water. They'll get into the mouth of that tributary and sit there on that mud line and just feast. That area where it's kind of like cloudy, it's not clear, yeah. It's not muddy, they'll just sit there and they'll wait for bait to get pushed into that area, disoriented from the current, and they'll just feast on them. So it makes fishing easy like that. Now, when the river's low, it's easy too, because you can find a concentration of fish and there's going to be a good many there. That level in between that low, extremely low and extremely high, they literally can go anywhere. So it's not that it's hard. You just have to understand where to look for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the river's low, like hell, I know guys last year that found fish in areas where they couldn't get out of because the water had dropped down and they were just stuck in there. So, you know, they're like, one of my good friends had found a concentration of fish that were in an area that they literally could not get out of. They were there, you know,
and at that point they'll bite anything. Cause it's like the food supply is running out. We'll hit anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point, man. That's a lot of insight. What do you think is going to be? And again, you know, I just have to ask. You don't have to answer. But what do you think is going to be like the winning pattern?
Top water? Absolutely. Absolutely. The winner will catch a majority of their fish on top water.
Who do you, I mean, other than yourself, who do you see when you look at, and there might be a bunch of local guys that those that follow the tournament thing, the tournament scene on the national level that we may not have heard about. But including that group of people that, you know, they're from Pennsylvania and they're hammers and they might know the river as well, as long with the Russ Snyders, Christian Fishers, Ryan Lamberts that are coming in. Would you have your eye on thinking that they could have a shot? Or who do you think would be the favorite to win it other than yourself?
The favorite to win, the favorite for second place is probably Russell Johnson.
Pennsylvania guy,
not from this area, but he lives over on the western side of the state. Russell, what sets him apart is his knowledge of moving water fisheries. And specifically, like, he fishes the Susquehanna a good bit, but he has a ton of knowledge on moving water fisheries, and that's primarily what he fishes all the time anyway. He's really good at it, and he also, when you couple that with great paddling ability, you know, he stands a very, very good chance. And you know, he doesn't really have a part of his fishing game that sucks. Russell's a really good fisherman. A couple other local guys, Billy Dorbero, he's fantastic on the Susquehanna and Juniata rivers. Bill has a knack for catching big fish. Like, you know, he was in a, in that teaser video that I had put together for Hobie. A lot of the photos that he had given to me to use for that teaser video were of 21 plus inch fish. Billy catches some fish. Another guy locally that, that is really good here is his name is Steven Sisto. He fishes the rivers quite a bit, and he has a lot of experience on the Susquehanna and Juniata. There's a couple other local guys that I would say that are really, really good fishermen, but being a really good fisherman and being a really good tournament fisherman are two different things.
Yep.
Especially the guys that are like, oh, I fish the Susquehanna River all the time. I can catch them out there. I'm going to go buy a catch board and enter this deal with my Pelican and go out there and fish. It's different. It's different whenever we give you a timeline and say, all right, go. You know, and I know some guys that are in jet boats that are talking about wanting to do that, like, you know, that have, that are doing that. You can be a great fisherman all day long, but being a great tournament fisherman is two different things. So, you know, I put my money on the local guys that I mentioned there, but when you got the national, you know, scene guys, you can never rule out Russ Snyder's because of his innate ability to catch fish. You can put Christine in that same boat, because she has, especially on rivers, Christine's fantastic.
Yeah.
Jody Queen has won a lot of tournaments on the Susquehanna River. I have not seen him sign up yet, but I'm sure he's going to. So he's in that conversation. Drew Gregory, I mean, it goes without saying, Drew Gregory is a live in the current kind of guy. He's got the potential to be there for that. You know, there's anybody could win this thing though. That's the greatest thing about this fishery. Anybody could win it. Dude, I'm telling you, anybody could win it because this river could put up 90 plus inches in any stretch that you go to. Any stretch that you go to. That's huge. Like, there's no one spot on this river that I could say that's where it's going to be won at, because it could literally be won at any spot. Excuse me, I just hiccuped. But yeah, like, it's going to be a really good tournament, though. I think you're going to see some big smallmouth put up some big limit.
Speaking of Jody actually won it last year.
He did.
He was 171 inches and 171 and a half inches. And now, I'll be honest with you, I'm reading it. I don't know this by heart, but I was just looking at it while you mentioned it. That, you know, 86 inches the second day, 85 and a half inches the first day. Cody Milton came in second, and just by what a hair. By 1.5 inches. By 1 inch. Drew Gregory came in fourth. Matt Ball came in third. All those guys. Look, for Christian Fisher, did pretty good, 166. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all those guys you mentioned, Jackson Orr, the Phenom, 162. So, like you mentioned, there's Mike Iaconelli was there too. I'm just looking at it. 12. Yeah. What do you think about that new? Now, it's kind of switching subjects here, but. Now that we mentioned Mike Iaconelli, have you seen the boat, the PA-14 or 12? I don't know which one. The 360 that came out. The Mike Iaconelli edition.
I've seen it. I know there's a lot of buzz on Kayak Bass Nation about it. And, you know, Kayak Bass Nation.
Of course there is.
is designed for there to be buzz. But so Mike Iaconelli is a great person.
Yeah.
He's down to earth. He's respectful. He's not arrogant. That excitement that you see on camera is real.
Genuine, yeah.
It's not for TV. He's great for the sport of fishing in general. Yeah. Do I think he should have his own signature boat? No. What has he done to earn? That's a touchy word. I don't think he should have a signature boat.
For kayak fishing,
you mean? For kayak fishing. Ike is a great angler. He's a great person. And it would have been a whole hell of a lot better received by the masses if Hovey would have just came out and said, hey, look, we brought Mike Iaconelli in to put a little different spin on our great, already great platform. Wait till you guys see this. Versus an Ike logo with, you know, a fuse and we're about to drop a bomb. A color customization is not a bomb.
It's a and color. The teeth, don't forget the teeth and the eyes, you know.
A color customization is not a bomb. I think it was overhyped. And I put that on Hobie. You know, to overhype something. Like, don't be like everybody else. Don't be like the bona fide guys. Don't be like Old Town. Don't be like all these other companies that are like, oh, we're getting ready to drop something really cool, and then they hype it. And here's a new color. What? Like, no, just say what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to do away with all that hype only to have a letdown, the letdown sucks. Do I think it'll sell boats? Sure. It's going to sell boats. It's going to sell boats because it has his logo on it. You know, and he's going to sell boats. So here's who it's going to sell boats to. It's not going to sell boats to you, me and you.
Yeah.
We're not paying extra for that red boat with an Ike logo.
Yeah.
The person who it's going to sell boats to is to that guy that says, oh, I got all this stuff I need to do for my bass boat to be able to fish out of it, and I don't have the money or I don't have the storage place for it. But, man, I can spend $6,000 on that boat.
Yeah.
I could sell my bass boat and buy that boat and go out here and compete in tournaments. That's who it's going to sell boats to. And honestly, it's genius. Hobie's genius because they're appealing to a different market now than the kayak scene. They're appealing to someone in a bass boat. So will it sell boats? Sure. Do I like the way they did it? No.
Yeah.
That's about, I mean.
I know. I completely agree with you on that. And there's two aspects to it. And we have to understand. For those of us that are a fan of the sport and the tournament scene. God, I keep up with it. Why am I having so much trouble with that word? For those of us that are like purists, you know, we want, not purists, that's a strong word. But anyways, for those that are really into the tournament scene and not the masses, I get it. I agree with you. I would have rather seen Russ Snyder, Christian Fisher, Jody Quinn have their own signature boat because they have done more for the kayak fishing community. Having said that, Hobie's responsibility as a company is to transcend the sport in order to become, and they already are a global company, but they want to transcend the sport. When you look at bass fishing in itself and kayak fishing, what personality transcends the sport? Not a whole lot of it. KVD comes to mind, and Mike Iaconelli comes to mind, that new wave of guys that, not necessarily like Greg, like Swindell, who's doing Turn It Up on, you know, on the tournament scene and you know, putting the work out there. He's more of a personality that, yes, he has a lot of credibility as a tournament angler, but his show, his podcast, it transcends the sport. So that's what Hobie's trying to do. They want to transcend the sport. They want the masses to come and get involved in kayak fishing community. From that standpoint, I get it. I think it's a great move.
It's a great move. Yeah. I think it's a great move. And I think the color change, I think the color addition is awesome. My first kayak that I ever had was the exact same color. Yeah. And I loved it. I called it Big Red. But my issue, and it's the only issue I have with it, because I'll even disagree to a certain extent about one of the major kayakers getting a signature boat. I'm not going to buy a boat because it has somebody else's name on it or their logo. I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't want, I mean, no disrespect to Russ Snyder's or Christine Fisher or Jody Quinn, but if they threw their logo on a boat, that's not going to make me buy it. Like, I don't care.
And like, I agree. I agree. Know? Yeah.
But I just wish they would have advertised it differently. Their thought process and the boat and everything, it's great. They should have advertised it differently because it almost looks like they followed suit with all these other manufacturers that we've all made fun of in the past. You know, Bonafide says, oh, we're going to drop something that's going to be awesome and it's going to be great. And it obviously gets hyped up on those other platforms. And well, you made it green? That's cool. Like, great. Oh, you added some superhero logos to it? That's cool. I've always wanted a Spider-Man boat.
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
But, you know, in Bonafide, like I'm picking on them, but they're not the only ones that have done it. I was part of the Old Town team a couple years ago whenever they, you know, Old Town pushed this advertisement out to the pro staff. We're getting ready to drop something. Pump it out, pump it out, pump it out. So we started pumping it out. They didn't tell us what it was. We didn't, you know, there may have been a couple people that knew about it that signed NDAs that couldn't talk about it. But they in our theory was, well, they're getting ready to release something awesome and it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And they just made it, they made the Predator line into like a fuchsia color and it's like well, that's not special. Like,
you didn't
change the game, you know. But they've all done it. Every manufacturer's done it. I think it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Just tell people, hey, we're going to be releasing some more options. We're not changing the boat. We're just going to be releasing some more options.
In Hobie's defense, you're getting a character, and I'm not saying this in a negative way. Absolutely, I'm a huge fan of Ike. I love his podcasts and his shows, and I think he's great for the sport, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. He is a loud personality. So I guess in a sense, you have to make it loud in order to match his personality. After all, if Ike's joining the team, then you can't just kind of like have this puppy approach to advertise it. Because, you know, you're getting this guy who has a huge personality, a huge voice, literally and figuratively. So I get it. Like I said, it's more like I was expecting the Hobie Outback to be coming with a 360 drive. I knew it wasn't going to be that, but that's kind of along that line of,
be kind of cool.
I don't know if it would have been. Because the Hobie Outback sits kind of low in the water. So I don't know how practical that thing going sideways is going to be. but, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an nautical engineer or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I get it. For those of us that are kind of more involved in the sport and look at it from the tournament thing and don't get too caught up in the shining stuff, I get it. Now, something – I'm a huge Hobie fanboy. And one thing that I really don't like about – how Hobie does things is, and to my knowledge, they're the only ones. And I don't know if Bonafide did the same thing, because I know Bonafide came up with a few different, like 2 or 3 years ago, they came up in ICAST and they released, like you said, like the Spider-Man and kind of thing, and a few others. And I haven't seen a single one of them on the water. And I've seen a lot of Bonafides on the water, but I have not seen a single one of theirs. Special limited edition, whatever. All I've seen is usually the gray ones or the sand color. No, not the gray one. The sand color ones or the red ones. They're typical.
So
I don't know how I don't know if that backfired for Bonafide. But going back to my point, I didn't like it when Hobie came up with the, oh, we got the camel. Oh, it's going to be $250 more. Why? Because it's a different color. Now, personally, I personally would like, and I've been this, for a safety standpoint, I'll get my first Outback was the papaya one. It was the only one left. And the dealer was like, we only have the papaya color. Fine. I want something that stands out. I do not want a kayak that's black. Not in Texas heat summer, because that thing is going to be like you're sitting on a frying pan. I don't want it blue or light blue or anything like that, because it's going to mix in with the water. I want something that stands out. I want bass boarders and jet skis or you know, water skis, whatever, to know that I'm in the water. The last thing I want to do is something that comes flashes. So I never got interested in the whole camel thing and everything, because I wasn't going to go duck hunting in it anyways. Right. So for it to be like, oh, we're going to upcharge you just because it has this color.
So,
well, the features are the same. I don't get it.
It's slightly more than the color. I will give them that. And the reason it's slightly more is because of the EVA foam padding on the decks. They have the custom Pike logos and stuff in there. That costs a little bit more to mass, or, you know, to produce. So I understand the upcharge, but like we talked about, this is not a kayak that's being geared for someone who already has a kayak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean. I don't foresee a Hobie PA-14 owner from a 2020 model going and buying a 2021 Ike approved boat just because it's Ike approved. They're not going to spend the $250 more to buy that particular boat.
Yeah.
They might buy a Hobie PA-360, but they're not going to spend $200 or how much ever it is more to buy that particular boat. What it's geared towards is those people that have a bass boat right now that may or may not be going to continue to have a bass boat. It's for those folks. And, you know, I mean, the reality of it is you can sell most bass boats for $8,000 to $15,000 right now, even the older ones. So you sell that bass boat, you got yourself a brand new fancy kayak that has a Ike approved logo and EVA foam padding on it. That's who it's going to sell to. I hope it's wildly successful. I really do. Yeah. I mean, I hope that it gets more people into this sport that aren't in it right now. And I hope it brings in a different level of competition of people who have, you know, fished out of bass boats. I think it's great, but I just wish they would have been more upfront on what they were bringing out versus what they hyped up, only to be part of the status quo industry.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. When you're a Hobie and you came up with a 360 drive, well, like, you know, it's as close to game changer as it's going to get when it comes to fast fishing.
Did you see my post? I think it was yesterday on KBN.
So I think, yeah, I did.
It was a reply to somebody else's comments about the boat. And I was like, when are you all going to learn? Hype, 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 new color option. No hype at all, 360 drive.
Yeah. Like,
you know, I don't know. Like, there was hardly any hype at all about the Hobie Lynx. And the Hobie Lynx is a badass little boat. It's going to be great for fishing shallow water, specifically right here in the Susquehanna River. It's a fast little boat. It's stable. It's got great features. It's got a lot of things that are already pre-done for you, because everyone loved the I-11S, right? The I-11S was badass for shallow water fishing. It's probably even better than the Lynx is in shallow water, rocky rivers. But what's the one thing that you had to do with the I-11S? You had to get switch pads to put shit on it. You had to, you know, there was nowhere for a transducer. The, you know, the rudder was kind of like, but what's the Lynx? The Lynx is basically a hard version of the I-11S that's already pre-rigged or pre-set up, ready for you to put all that extra stuff on there. It's genius. It's absolutely genius. And it's a great idea. And I think it's going to be a phenomenal boat. And I plan on having one. If I can have one before the BOS on the Susquehanna, I'm going to.
I thought that should have been the debut. I think they should have done the debut for it, because Lynx just came out. They could have easily swapped it. Says, we're going to send an early one a couple of months before the ICAST, and then when
they released the Lynx right around the Bassmaster Classic.
Yeah.
I would have released the Ike boat at the Bassmaster Classic.
Exactly.
The Bassmaster Classic champion.
Exactly.
I would have released the Ike boat then, and then I would have dropped the links just now at Ike.
I agree.
That's where the mistake was made.
But then again, they don't. I don't think the advertisers.
We can sit here and talk about it, but they're still going to be multi-millionaires selling boats. Yeah. We're going to sit here with our $2 opinions talking about what we think about it, but none of it really matters because they're still making a product that everyone's going to buy.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, no, I agree with you. I totally agree with you on that one. I mean, the links, I was excited about the links because I have, right now I have the Hobie Outback, which I have a brand new haul because the other one cracked and they replaced it. Plus I have the 360 drive. So I'm thinking I'll sell the Outback because it's a brand new haul, which actually, if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, Bass Kayak and Beers, go check out my listing. If you want to buy a Hobie Outback and you live in Texas, 2019 brand new haul, a lot of extras. So send me a message, DM me if you're interested. But anyways, I thought, okay, I'll sell that, you know.
I thought you were giving I thought you were going to give me that boat for coming on the podcast.
What?
What? Was that not part of the deal?
What? Well, now I'm wondering how much, what is Josh giving you for going every week and being eye candy for the ladies? Listen,
we can't talk about what Josh gives me because that's going to be awkward.
Now I'm wondering, is Josh giving you an Outback every time you go on his live show?
He's giving me something for sure.
By the way, did you ask permission to do the plug-in on my show?
Yeah, so I messaged him, and I asked him, and he said yes. And then I asked him what night, and then I got crickets. So Josh from Dark Waters Kayak Fishing, who's another podcast, a little bit substandard to this one, he and I are potentially going to go live on Instagram one night this in the next week to talk about the BOS in depth a little bit. And it's going to be, I think a lot of what it's going to be is Josh is not familiar with fishing this river or rivers.
Or fishing in general.
Or fishing in general. You know, so it's going to be a lot of question and answer, and it might be informative for someone who's not familiar with the Susquehanna River. I think it's going to be helpful maybe to those people that are on the fence. If we can do it early enough, like within the next 2 or 3 days, if we could schedule something and do it, it could potentially be very helpful for someone who might be on the fence, you know, determining whether or not they want to come here. That's the goal with it. I don't know if it's going to all come together in time, but that's, we've talked about it. It's just, you know, I got to send him a crayon written letter so he understands it.
Draw him a little map. God bless Josh.
There's so many things. I'm going to dime him out. So he messages me the other day and he says to me, he goes, "What's a float?" And I responded with, "Is this a serious question?"
Yes, you what's a float?
He was asking me what a float was because he keeps hearing people talking about organizing a float and he didn't understand what it was or didn't. I think he may have understood what it was, but he was looking for confirmation. And I was like, "It's when you put in at one ramp and float to another one." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Okay, that's what I thought." And I'm like, "All right." But, you know, look, I love Josh to death, man. Great dude. Great dude. I consider him a friend. But, you know, he's got some marine quality questions. You know? Like, he's got some.
Oh, man.
You know? But, you know, it's fine. Like, I don't mind. Like, I'm making fun of him, you know, but it's fun. You know, I'll help anybody whenever it comes to something that they don't understand or safety, you know, reasons. The only thing that I'm not going to help you with is if I'm competing against you and you say, "Hey, where should I fish?" I'm going to tell you in the water. Like, that's the best place to catch them is in the water. You can go to the Bass Pro Tank here in Harrisburg and probably put up 100 inches of largemouth, but you're going to get arrested. Like, you're going to get arrested.
Speaking of Josh, he's actually going to be fishing at the Susquehanna.
He is. He's signed up and everything.
Oh. I was going to ask you, what do you think his odds are? But just the fact that he doesn't know what a float is kind of makes me worry.
So I think he's going to catch 10 fish.
Really?
I do.
That's high praise. That's high praise.
I think he's going to catch 10 fish because of his tenacity. I don't think he's going to allow this river to get the best of him. I think he's going to figure it out. Anybody could win this tournament in any stretch of this river. I'll say that over and over and over. Do I think Josh is going to win? No. But could he? Yes. You know, it's. I think he's going to catch 10. I mean, you know, and I'm hoping. I don't know what his personal best smallmouth is, but I'm hoping he gets close to it, if not break it. I know he lives up there in New York, and they got those big old stupid fat smallmouth that, like, you know, they're built like largemouth. And, you know, you'll catch like a 4-pound smallmouth that's 17 inches long. But, you know, I don't know if he's ever caught a 20-inch river rocket that only weighs 3 pounds, that hates everything around it, that just wants to go batshit crazy whenever it sees something. And then as soon as you hook it, goes takes you for a ride downriver a half mile because it's not going to give up, because that's what you got. that's what lives here. You know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, we can get into talking about that too. I don't know how much longer you want to stay on, but.
That's a good point, because that's one thing that I've learned in fishing in rivers. That's why I like it so much. And again, I'm not a biologist. This is what makes sense to me, and I've heard other people that fish rivers say this, and it makes sense. A river fish is constantly going against the current, you know, constantly looking for shelter, you know, ambushing bait from the fish. They have to be quick, and they are more muscle more than anything. I've honestly the biggest fish that I've caught here in Texas, especially when it comes to summer, it's been the most disappointing fight. It's been more like, did I get snagged? This is not moving that much. And the fight is short, and it's just big fat bass just hanging out in one spot, you know, so, the whole day. And it's, and you know, when they get to that size, that means they're old bass. And when it gets hot, they don't have, you know, they don't have that much oxygen to put up a fight when it's almost 90 degree water.
Yeah.
So it's kind of not say disappointing. It's never disappointing to catch a 20-plus inch fish. But it's not the fight that you would think. You know, you put a 15-inch bass on the Brazos River, nothing will put you in a ride, because they are all muscle. They're constantly fighting the current. They're constantly having to move. They don't have that space to just like, hey, I'm just going to lay low here for a couple.
So what you have here in this place is special. This river is unlike, I'll say it, it's unlike any other river in the country. You have a shallow, rocky environment with great lake-sized smallmouth that live here. These fish have shoulders. There's more crawfish in this river than any river in the country per square inch. Like, I feel like there's so many crawfish here. If Russell Johnson told me one time, if you go out to the Susquehanna River at nighttime and shine a flashlight in the water, you'll see crawfish just everywhere. And he's right. Like, there's so many crawfish in this river. There's so many bait fish in this river. These fish just get big. Now, these fish are territorial, because it's there when they're behind a rock or in front of a rock, depending on where they're positioned. That's their rock. Mm-hmm. And anything that comes near it, they're either going to shoo it away or they're going to kill it. And they might not even eat because they're hungry. They're eating because it's their area, and get the hell out of it. I don't want you here. And a lot of the strikes that you're going to get on the Susquehanna are going to be just that. When you find them eating, you're going to find them wolf packing, where they're just going to be teeing off on whatever you're throwing in there. But when you're finding them out in isolated parts of the river and in kind of like isolated boulders or, you know, current breaks or whatever, they're more or less, they're eating because they're territorial. And like you said, they live there in the current. So they're constantly swimming. They're so strong. When you couple that with the fact that you can catch an 18-inch fish that's over 3 pounds as a river smallmouth, that's not common. Like, that's not, you know, unless you're going up to the St. Lawrence River where they're chewing on gobies all the time, or, you know, some of those other rivers, like the Tennessee River has some really good fish in it, but they're, you know, kind of a similar situation. The forage here in the Susquehanna River, I think, is better than what some of those areas of the Tennessee, like the Holston and French Broad and all that. I think that the forage base is better here. And, you know, our fish will get to a certain length or weight before those fish in a similar age group, you know. Man, they're just, like, these fish are just insane. You know, I literally just put a video out yesterday. I was fishing with Cody Prather, and I took him out on the river for the first time, and the water was high, and he hooked into an 18-inch smallmouth. And he was amazed at how strong that fish was. And he even said, like, that fish whooped my tail. Like, that fish gave me everything I could handle and more. And eventually it wrapped around his rudder. It wrapped around his power pole. It did everything it could to get loose. Like, everything it could possibly do to get loose, it tried to do. And the other aspect is it did it while pulling him down current. So they're strong, they're fun, and they're territorial, and they're angry, and they're hateful.
Yeah, I've noticed that too on fishing on rivers. Anything that makes a racket, they'll just pounce on it. Mm-hmm. More, I think, than your regular type, you know, silent baits, like, you know, Texas rigged or jigs, something like that. Like, for me, and I know you know this, and I kind of actually wanted to ask you, I don't want to keep you too long, but I wanted to ask you about this as well. You love the jackhammers, and I've fished on rivers jackhammer. I don't know what it is. I think it shines everywhere, but it really shines more on river. And I think you touched on that accidentally, and it's that racket that it makes. It's that it just pisses them off, you know. They don't like it when they're in the area, and when they hit it, they just pounce on it with reckless abandon. So I, teeing off of that, I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on the new, I don't know if it's a jackhammer, but anyways, the new chatterbait that has that big blade now that's going to be super noisy and super vibrant. Have you seen it, and what do you think about it?
I've seen it. I don't know. I think they, I don't want to say it's a stretch, because I'm pretty sure Brian Thrift was in the process of, in the making of designing that. And that dude catches the crap out of some fish. I think it'll probably catch fish. It's hard to be better than a jackhammer.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard. You know what they could have done that would have made me extremely happy? And maybe you need to, I don't know, get Z-Man to follow your podcast, but, if they would have came out with a quarter ounce and eight ounce jackhammer, that would have been so awesome.
Don't they have one?
Quarter ounce jackhammer. It's not a jackhammer.
Oh, it's the Stealth.
Yeah, but even the Stealth doesn't drop down to a quarter ounce.
I know they had that one in quarter ounce. That I caught my personal burst on that.
They have the original chatterbait, I think maybe the chatterbait elite. Those ones are in lighter weights, but the jackhammer has that distinct sound.
Yeah.
And that erratic, you know, motion. I wish they would have came out with a quarter ounce and maybe even like a 3/16 ounce jackhammer. And what that's going to help you do is fish that in incredibly shallow water. Mm-hmm. Without getting hung up, It's going to allow you to fish it over top of grass mats that are, you know, under the water, under the surface. So many different things. Like a quarter ounce, I would say start with a quarter, add additional size to it. And if that sells really good, they should open up and maybe even do 3/16. Dude,
I think go ahead. Isn't that the Willow Blade though? The new one that came out? Because I have one of those. And I think that's a quarter ounce, isn't it? It comes in a quarter ounce.
I don't know. Willow Blade, I think so. It's not a jackhammer.
It's not. I've actually caught fish in it. It's not a bad, it doesn't swim as well as you would think. I rather use a scrounger, like a quarter ounce scrounger than the Willow Blade. I've used it and I've actually caught fish with it. My best experience with that, and I think it's a quarter ounce, they're very lightweight Willow Blade. I saw a bass just hitting Chad up against the bank, and I cast it, and being that I'm a mediocre fisherman, I missed my spot completely. Mm-hmm. But I was able to angle it in, and you can see the bait coming behind him, and he felt it, because you see that thing just going, I saw it just going right after the bait fish and make a complete U-ey when that thing came up behind me and knew exactly where it was and just pounced on it. Yeah. So it was one of those things where the vibration and the sound really caught his attention. I still would use a scrounger just because it swims better.
Right.
But, you know, it's one of the things where it does attract, you know, that vibration really does attract the fish even when he can't see it.
Yeah. I need to get better at fishing a scrounger.
And they're good. I've never caught anything that's remarkably...
I'm big talking about the deep, the very heavy, deep scrounger. Oh, yeah. You know, like those ledge fishing baits that those guys go crazy with on the Tennessee River out there fishing 30, 40-foot ledges with, you know, catching 7-8-pound largemouth on those scrounger heads. That's a type of fishing that escapes me that I need to get better at. So
for that, I use the 1 1/4 ounce jackhammer.
Yeah.
And I think it's really good. When you like, we're talking about deep ledges, mm-hmm. It's really good. It's really good. You can bounce it, reel it slow. And that's, I know we talk a lot about it on the podcast and I talk a lot about it, but it really is. And there's a reason why, and I'm not going to go into that. Go follow Fluke Master. He has a great review on the jackhammer, but the Picasso and the, what's the other one? The Thunder Cricket, because they both have that similar design that stands them out from the rest of the chatterbaits. But there's a reason why it's so popular. And again, I'm not going to, we don't have time to go through all over again.
Yeah, it's a whole other, show.
It's another rabbit show. But yeah, it's pretty good. The only thing that I was worried about that a new, again, chatterbait or jackhammer, whatever they call it, with that big blade is like, that thing is just going to, how are you going to set the hook with it? And I guess they upsized the hook on it for that same reason. When you get a largemouth mouse that gets, you know, swallowing that, set the hook, that blade is just going to pop it out of its mouth, in my opinion, but we'll see.
They put a 6-aught hook on it, which they needed to do anyway. I think a lot of people would catch more fish on a regular jackhammer if it had a 6-aught hook. But I don't know, man. We'll see. I mean, I'll inevitably buy one and try it, but to get me to say that it's better or going to replace a jackhammer or even, I mean, it's an addition to, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure it'll be great in muddy water. So
I'm sure it will. But anyways, Jake, I've had you for almost an hour now. You're super tired. We're talking about.
I'm over here yawning. Done.
I know, man. And I feel bad about it. So
no, you're fine. It's not
take a few minutes.
Company, I promise.
Take a few minutes to, if you want to thank any sponsors, anybody you want to thank, we'll end it there.
Well, I'll be quick. Team Torquedo. Torquedo is really, that motor has really helped me fish this river and learn it a lot. And even any fishery I go to allows me to cover the water, to eliminate the water and Then in the tournaments, you know, if I can use it, great. If not, I was able to in practice to help me get, you know, to those places. Innovative Sportsman, Trey Leach, he's huge, does all my kayak modifications. He's building my John boat right now. And, you know, the Dugout Bait and Tackle is huge for me. All of my – everything I buy, you know, not rods because I have a rod sponsorship through Temple Fork Outfitters, but, you know, my line, my reels, my baits, you know, everything I get for fishing – I buy through the Dugout Bait and Tackle in Marietta, Georgia. Jamie Koza is a huge proponent for kayak fishing, and he's a Hobie dealer. And his shop literally has everything that you could find or want. And he ships way faster than Tackle Warehouse does. So, you know, he's been huge for me. As I'd mentioned, Temple Fork Outfitters, every single rod that I own is a Temple Fork Outfitters rod. They are a Texas company. They make good quality rods. They've had, you know, the biggest name in fishing come in and design some of their rods for them that they've learned from. And that being Gary Loomis, you know, so they're not often talked about in the scheme of rods goes, but they have great products. And that's basically it. You know, there's a couple other partnerships I have, but those are the main ones that are been most important to my success. So.
Cool, man. Cool beans. Jake, wish you the best on the tournament, man.
Thank you, sir. I wish you could be here.
I know. I wish too. I mean, I've probably should have taken the advantage Joshua's there. At least I wouldn't have finished last. But nah, I'm kidding, man. Josh would probably outfish me anywhere other than Texas. But again, thanks. Thank you so much, man. I know you had a tough day today and all this week pre-fishing. So I love that you took the time out. I really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate you offering me the time to come on, man.
My pleasure, man. You're always welcome to come on whenever you're not on your web dates with Josh on their Instagram account. So
we need to set up some time to talk about this John boat build that I'm doing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
We'll get in touch, or I'll get in touch with you on that, and we'll get that figured out.
No problem, man. Looking forward to it.
Cool.
So again, for those out there listening, if you made it this far, thank you. Check out my sponsor, DouglasOutdoors.com. For their full lineup of LRS rods and X-Mex Strix rod. They're in iCast right now. Follow them on iCast. Follow them on Instagram. Great rod company. And if you're going to be on the water, please wear your PFDs. Have a great day, everyone. And peace out.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order, and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.